Why don't we take a breath and listen to some music? The Planets by British composer Gustav Holst. While he was writing it about 100 years ago, World War I was raging and a flu pandemic was breaking out. And in the uncertainty of the times, astrology was on the composer's mind. What you're hearing here is a section called Jupiter, the Bringer of Jollity, which was in short supply at the time, and perhaps now. Our music opinionator Fran Hoffner is here to discuss the Planets. Fran, welcome. And jollity, I didn't even know that was a word. I had to look it up. What should
we
know?
It's a fun one. It makes you want to like use it in conversation more.
And I think I'm going to in this conversation. So tell me more about Gustav Holst. You point out that he was a Virgo, and actually that matters in the context of this music.
You know, this is like such a meticulously well-researched piece of music, especially for its time period. I think only the sort of, you know, grounded, particular Virgo would be able to compose such a piece like this. And Holst was like a huge astrology head, so it makes sense that this is, you know, his most famous piece. Gustav Holst is a British composer who comes out of England in the late 19th century. You know, he was composing a lot of very English music, a lot of marches, things that would sound, I think, almost too traditional and austere to modern ears. But The Planets is what launches him not only to like fame in England, but international fame. It was one of those, you know, world-renowned pieces of classical music as it sort of crossed the Atlantic into the United States.
Well, Holst was a reader of British author Alan Leo, who was actually called the father of modern astrology. So, I mean, connect the dots for me, if you could. What was Holst trying to do in this 7-movement orchestral suite as it relates to astrology or even the planets?
I think he wanted to use sort of, you know, the map of space to actually represent something close to like the stages of life. It's crazy to think in after, you know, decades of science fiction that something about space would feel so profoundly new. But this was like a really daring project to do. And I think we knew so little about space that the idea of someone making art around it felt really brave and interesting and strange. And I think there was a general hunger for things that didn't sound like or weren't based on things we already knew about.
Well, and he started writing The Planets at the start of World War I, so it's no surprise, then, that he starts with Mars, the bringer of war. Let's listen. Fran, that's very militaristic. It almost feels like I'm in a movie.
It's super cinematic, and it's really tense. There's no way to relax and listen to Mars. I think the snare drum and the timpani and all the really percussive elements, you know, using auxiliary percussion was kind of new for when this piece debuted, and so using those, you know, really evokes the sound of war. These are war-centric instruments.
All right, well, speaking of percussion, here's Mercury, the Winged Messenger. So, Fran, I mean, there really is some pretty wild percussion in that music right there. You actually use the F word to describe it in your blog post about this song. But I also understand that you played it as a student musician. Why do you think Mercury is so strange?
I think Mercury is often the planet we use to symbolize chaos. It has a frenetic, unpredictable nature. You'll see sort of astrology heads blame random events on Mercury being in retrograde. We're always supposed to fear Mercury in retrograde because that's sort of when crazy things happen. And I think this particular movement is really capitalizing on that chaos. It's an absolute treat to play as a percussionist to get that many notes.
What is it like? Yeah. Is it tough to play?
It's definitely tough, but I think any percussionist will tell you that they love having more notes than, you know, the one big timpani roll and otherwise just sitting in silence for 12 minutes, as it can often be.
Hmm. So how popular is Holst amongst musicians, especially students? I mean, is this something that if you play classical music, you're bound to come across this at some point?
I do think that a lot of youth musicians, you know, high school and college orchestras will play The Planets. The Planets has this enduring appeal because each movement is so tonally different. There's something for everyone, which makes it really popular, I think, for younger musicians. The Planets really seems to be the one that people gravitate towards, you know, no pun intended.
Yeah. Well, speaking of gravity, let's get a little further out into space with Saturn, the bringer of old age. Holst wrote The End of the Planets after Igor Stravinsky premiered The Rite of Spring, which changed classical music forever. Would you say that Saturn is reflective of that?
Yeah, I think Saturn and the two movements that follow have this weird atonality that you see reflected in a lot of Stravinsky's work. Stravinsky was really pushing the boundaries of what classical music could sound like. And I think what's so cool about The Planets is that it starts in sort of a more conventional, familiar, classical tradition. And then, you know, the further you get out in the solar system, the more bizarre it is, the more unknown it feels.
Yeah. Well, we're going to skip right past Uranus and we're going to go right to Neptune, the mystic, with an eerie choir. Let's listen to that. Tell us about Neptune. I can almost picture floating out there in space in the darkness, like looking at Earth in the distance, the very, very far distance.
Yeah, the choir really generates this ethereal sound, and I think it feels very far away when you listen to it. It reminds me a lot of the music from like older Disney films. You know, this one is cinematic, but in kind of a spooky way. Where it's almost like you can feel the presence of Neptune without being able to like locate where it is. I mean, for some people, I think they find this last movement very calming. I think it's so creepy and eerie to listen to.
Well, I can't get this far out into space without talking about, well, it's not a planet anymore, is it? But Pluto, actually not discovered until 1930, a decade after the Planets premiered. He might have had fun with Pluto, though.
Oh, definitely. Pluto has a lot of personality. I mean, I think it's interesting that we have this artistic record of what people thought of the Planets back then compared to what we know about space now. That the Neptune movement is so, I think, eerie really speaks to the unknownness of space. And, you know, 100 years later, that there's still huge pockets of space we know nothing about. I think that's part of the enduring appeal of Holst's music, is that it just understands that we're never gonna know everything that's out there.
What do you think the legacy of this music is?
Oh, I think it is like the perfect gateway from romantic era classical music into more modern classical music. It's taking this like programmatic storytelling, it's building a narrative over these parts, and then, you know, it's going into a lawless land, as a lot of modern classical music goes.
Yeah. So Fran, we're gonna leave one more time, taking a listen to Jupiter. This section has been called heroic and inspiring to people, so here that is. Let's listen. Thank you. Brian Hoffner, Here and Now's Music Opinionator. Thank you so much for taking us on this journey through space with Gustav Holst. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter.